This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast. I had just a crazy weekend at Gen Con in Indianapolis, Indiana. And just like at PAX Unplugged, I've invited Beast to come on and talk about the experience. The thing we forgot to discuss from the G.I. Joe angle was that Renegade Games had their HeroClix G.I. Joe on display. They looked really good. The cards were very clean. It was really cool to see that they used Major Altitude's copter. They're pulling a weird cut on that one. I sent a bunch of pictures over to Mark Seddon, who sent them to Full Force. And so I haven't posted. You guys have already seen them. I would assume that Renegades has already done a reveal, but I haven't looked. It's been busy. I really enjoy Beast coming on with me again. He's been a friend forever and ever. He's a Joe guy, but he hasn't come to any of our Joe shows. Short Fuse and Downtown are probably his favorite because they're Mortarmen. Chuckles being a close second. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. I look forward to the next gaming convention I get to work at.
Is that Snake Eyes and Timber? Are those the classifieds?
No, those are the Mezcos.
Oh, I don't know what those are.
They're really nice, detailed action figures with cloth clothing. So it's like Hot Toys, but at 6-inch.
Oh.
They are lovely. I grab Duke for you.
Oh, okay. I see. Why is he using an MP5?
That's what Alexander gave him. I don't know what all he comes with. At least a pistol, maybe a rifle, but Alexander had all of them on the floor and were playing, and that's what he got put away with.
Okay.
I like an MP5.
Oh, they're nice.
It's not really a Duke weapon, though.
No.
Much more of a Storm Shadow. Or Snake Eyes.
Or Firefly.
Speaking of Firefly.
Oh, wow. Are those drones?
Yes. Yeah, they go into his backpack.
Dude, that's rad as shit.
So this is a Mezco action figure.
Yes. Chopper is in your chair now.
The cats were happy once I got home. The cats were very happy when I got home. Which, I thought about staying, but since everybody thought I was leaving when you were, I took the advantage, left a little early, spent an extra day with Alexander before he went back to school.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I wanted to stay, and it would have been fun, but it was also nice to get back home, kick with the boy. And I talked to Frank. He said that it took until 8:30 for them to lower the banner.
I would have lost my fucking mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was 30 minutes of breakdown and then wait for a banner. You have one coming up behind you.
That's Pepper.
I hear her.
She was upset at us for like 7 seconds. Smokey finally came up to me today.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he was very mad. Like, we walked in and we got the row, and off he walked.
How fucking dare yous.
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about?
Well, I assumed we were going to talk about old Gen Con.
Okay.
And I'm sure it's going to be just as meandering as the last one.
That's part of the fun, actually. So what did you think of Gen Con, Jay?
I was not intimidated and overwhelmed.
Duh.
I was told I would be. I was warned.
By who?
Not by you, by others. It is intimidating and overwhelming. I agree. However, I'm not new.
You're going to be intimidated. What?
Gen Con is Lake Geneva Convention.
Yes.
Moved to Milwaukee.
Yes.
Moved to Indianapolis.
Yes.
Run by a guy and a company out of Seattle.
Peter something.
Yes.
Yeah, he owns Gen Con.
Yeah, it's plus 70,000 people.
Yeah, I don't know how many people were there this year.
I had heard that they were capping it at 70,000, but I don't know. I mean, that's hearsay. That's shit I heard. That's not truth, right?
There was like 80-some there last year.
Right. And that's why I said, like, whatever I'm saying is just shit I heard. It's not anything that I know. But I do know that you and I were with our Telsorian at 249.
Yes.
And which 249 was close enough to a side door that Thursday morning I recorded 60 seconds of just people flooding in.
Yes. And that's a side door.
Yeah, it was great. I don't think I've been in a convention this big since COVID. Once since COVID. I have been to comic conventions this big before, and maybe that's why I'm so blasé about 70,000 humans. But it was fun to watch every morning when that door opened. You could tell the day. Like Thursday was a lighter crowd, and they all came in, curiosity and a little bit of haste. Sunday morning, people were running, sprinting from that front door or from that side door.
Yeah.
Which I always love. It gives me the giggles. It's Sunday morning. Got to get there first. Got to get my shit. I love it. I really enjoyed Gen Con. I think one of the things that, and you don't have any more experiences with this than I do, is that Gen Con is, you can overschedule the shit out of Gen Con. We were not overscheduled.
No.
And I had friends that every time I reached out to them was like, well, I've got a thing from 7 to 9:30, and then I've got a thing from 10 until midnight, and then I've got a thing at 8 a.m. until 9 a.m. And I was like, when the hell do you get to the vendor floor? I looked it up, and I believe the main exhibition hall is something like 500,000 square foot.
Yeah, it's big.
It's big. The largest con floor I've been on, exhibition hall, has been about 300,000 square foot. So it was bigger than I've been on before. Not insurmountable. We still made the whole floor more than once. The entire convention center is like 970,000 square foot. So the demo hall was bigger than most conventions. And then all of the other side rooms and breakout rooms and other halls, not including Lucas Oil.
Yeah.
Which is where the Indianapolis Colts play football. And so the entire football field is covered with boards, and they have tables and people are gaming. And you and I, when we came down those stairs, immediately there was like the Star Trek setup with the commander and his bridge crew. And then there were tables playing Magic, and then tables playing Dungeons and Dragons and board games. And
in like the booths, like the season ticket boxes and stuff.
Yes.
People can rent those for games, you know.
And then all of the hotels around there have breakout rooms for certain things.
Yes.
So we were at the Omni, and there was one room that was for, I don't remember the game, but it was for their LARP community. And then when you went downstairs, there was a big room with a bunch of game tables set up. And then a bunch of hotels had private, like pay to play or private games in hotel rooms. And I think you and I had been told, oh, you've got to go to this one. And when we looked it up, it was like a mile away. We were like, nah, we're not going to walk that far.
No, yeah, I'm not going.
Gen Con is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We got in on Tuesday evening. The first person that I ran into, you introduced me to, was Shadowrun Rob.
Yep.
And he said that they had started loading in on Monday.
Yeah, on Monday.
And this was Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they had a 7-hour delay because the convention center was so busy hanging shit from the ceiling, they couldn't hang their shit.
Yes.
Which then Wednesday, we got, what, a good 2-hour delay with them not hanging our shit.
Yeah, two and a half, yeah.
It was a 4.5-hour trip for me. I came up, I parked at somebody's house in Fishers, and Ubered in, $21. I get there, immediately run into you guys, and you said parking at the Omni was $70 a day.
Yes.
But you guys were parked around the corner. I don't know where you guys were at.
We found a parking garage around the corner from the Omni, and it was $197 for Tuesday through Sunday.
I know Christian went back there several times.
Yeah.
So I'm there at Gen Con because I ran into you at PAX.
Mm-hmm.
You introduced me to Mike Pondsmith. I told dick jokes with Mike Pondsmith within minutes of meeting him, and then spent the whole weekend
he said he couldn't have salt without pepper at Gen Con.
Right. Because I spent the whole weekend talking to him about Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
And so you and I were going to be salt and pepper. My expectation was that you and I would be helping him navigate the floor, make meetings, do signings, get around.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there was anything else that needed to be done, somebody would say something.
Yes.
But did you fuck that up because you brought your son and the Brute Squad, which you introduced everybody as your son and the Brute Squad, but I think everybody else lumped Connor in. So it was the Brute Squad, it was the three of them to everyone else.
Yes.
I think Mike preferred walking around with the Brute Squad than you or I, because he used them more.
Well, but we got put on a shift at the booth. Chris and Ev were just floaters. You know, hey, I need someone to go get Pepto-Bismol. So I called Chris and Ev and they went and got Mike Pepto-Bismol.
Right. But I think he really enjoyed them.
Oh, yeah.
You and him are obviously friends. I am friendly, but I think he enjoyed walking around with Chris and Ev. And when they get shoulder to shoulder, they move the whole crowd.
Yes, they're wide.
Yeah. So I spent most of my time doing sales, which is not something I'm unaccustomed to.
Yeah, you did fine, Jay, because, you know, like me and you can sell anything.
Right. And selling at a show is what I do most of the time.
I mean, we sold almost everything the first day.
Yeah. Yeah. All of the outliers, all of the special stuff, gone.
Yeah, day one, and we were down to core rule books for Red, and then we had Shadow Scar, some of the older stuff, and some of the Witcher stuff for the rest of the show.
That was it. I mean, that was honestly the nice thing. It was, Antonio had some deep knowledge. That dude could go wide.
Well, he's also a playtester.
And so anytime I would be talking to somebody, and I'd go, well, he would scoop in and just answer anything. And I was like, my man. And then James, who is one of their lead developers, he was crazy knowledgeable. And then there was you and I and Frank and Noella in the evenings. You know, they've been playing these games for years and they've done some playtesting as well. So it was just easy to sell. I'm kind of just walking through the mechanics of the weekend. But I mean, for you, you got in on Tuesday. You did 9 hours in the car with the boys. How was it for you?
Oh, dude, it was easy. For the first time in a long time, I didn't have to drive. So I just like sat in the back seat, drank drinks, ate pretzels, smoked cigarettes, talked copious amounts of shit. We had a great ride out there. And then I told the boys, I'm like, hey, fucking Jay's there, you know, because the boys all knew you already.
Yeah.
But they got to know you more.
Yeah, I'd spent an evening or two with the boys previously, usually around the Boone's table throwing dice. But this time, from sun up to sundown, or I guess from sun up to almost sun up.
a couple of those nights, yeah. And like, you know, Chris and Ev were both like, oh, Jay's a G. He's ours now. We're going to keep him.
I mean, they're the Brute Squad. What am I going to say? No?
You can.
They'd hurt me.
Good luck. Well, we had some drinks in the lobby Tuesday.
Yeah, we were going to make it an early night, and I think early was like 1, 2. I mean, 2 is early.
Well, yeah, compared to a couple of the other nights.
This is where, like, I'm there because I ran into you. You introduced me to Mike. We got along well. I mean, I met everybody else there, but I really didn't know them that well. I was just kind of kicking it with you. And I think on the schedule, I was marked as friend of Beast.
Beast Bud.
Yeah.
Beast Bud.
But I got to know Dolan and Cody a lot more. And I got to know Rob Barefoot a lot more and Jay. And I got to chat with Lisa a bunch the first couple of days. But the last couple of days, she wasn't around as much.
She didn't feel well.
Yeah.
She's still recovering from stuff.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've been at a gaming convention before December. And now this. I miss this community.
And I know you'll be invited to PAX.
If they want me, I'm there.
Because Lisa said that she likes all of you boys and she's going to keep you.
I mean, if they want me, I'm there. That's, PAX was a good show. I like PAX a little more because it was a little more comfortable to just chat on the floor.
And it's more laid back.
Yeah.
And what's funny is PAX Unplugged is nowhere near a small convention.
No, it's like 35 to 40,000. It's about half the size of Gen Con in terms of attendance, probably also in terms of floor space. Jay walked me to the demo room once. I don't know where the demo room was. I couldn't get back there.
At least you went there once. I never saw it.
And it made me go, oh, I want to do some demo shit. But he got trapped by the demo people asking questions. So he handed me the quick start guides that we had gone there for. I'll catch you back in the room. And he didn't show back up for like a couple hours. I'm trying not to just go through this mechanically, but Wednesday we did do load in. We showed up to a convention hall with no air. And within 30 minutes, I'm wiping sweat out of my eyes and I'm standing there.
There's a reason I wore a do-rag.
It immediately made me wish I had brought my dancer's rag because I was like, fuck, this is too much.
I had extra do-rags. I'd have given you one.
Well, now I know.
Now you know.
7 days too late.
But all, dude, all of us were just standing there sweating.
Yes. Once they finally raised the circular banner and attached it to the ceiling, we could start working.
Yeah.
You and I work fast.
And then you add in the boys.
Yeah. You started tossing boxes and you turned to toss one at me and I was getting ready to catch. And then I started thinking, ooh, I might not catch this because of my hand. And then people walked in front of you and you never threw it, which I know aggravated you. But then the boys were laughing because as soon as it was in the air, I started asking, where do you want these tables? And people started deliberating on how things were going to go. So I grabbed Connor and was like, hey, help me move these things. And I just started moving stuff.
Yes.
And he was like, where are we putting this? And I was like, well, I'm going to put it where I think it should go. And then if that's wrong, somebody will tell me. But I'm not going to wait around. And we just started building.
Mm-hmm.
The five of us, plus their whole crew, Cody and Dolan and Holly and everybody else, Frank and Noel, everybody's throwing shit on tables, moving things around. We got the table put together. And then we fucked off to cold air.
Yes.
And cold air being the 90 degrees outside.
And it was delightful.
It was muggy as shit walking into the building. And it was beautiful and sing-songy leaving that very dangerous hot box.
It wasn't that dangerous. We had liquids.
If you didn't, it would have been.
You lived, didn't you?
Nobody died, did they? I mean, not at our booth. So
it's all I gave a shit about.
At least one person probably died. I don't know.
I bet there were some fucking fucked up people from like dehydration.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I soaked through my shirt.
Yeah.
During setup.
Yeah, and setup did not take that long.
No, and then when we got outside and that wind hit, the breeze hit, and my shirt was like drenched, I was like, oh, this is fucking delightful.
Yeah. I smell like death, but it feels good.
Yeah, I smell like a fucking locker room and stale socks, but I don't care because I'm cool now and I'm going to enjoy this Marlboro.
And then we stopped at a delightful Mexican restaurant.
Oh, what was that place called? But dude, the food.
Soul something.
The food was fucking amazing.
We were walking because the walk was, we're gross. So we need.
No. To quote Jason, I want a shower with soap, something to drink, and food, and not in that order.
Yes. And so food came first. That place was good. The beans were phenomenal.
The food was amazing. The service sucked.
It did. But I still would have gone back for the food.
I would have too.
But I mean, after we showered and cleaned up, it was.
Then we went to the steakhouse. You went and hung out with your buddies.
Oh, yes, that's right.
You were in the lobby while me and the boys went to the steakhouse.
That's right. Because you went to the steakhouse with 2 Chainz, Red, Thor.
And Ryan. And 2 other random ass dudes I'd never met before.
Okay.
And they were nice guys, but they were very quiet during the meal.
Quiet doesn't serve you well in this group.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? Yeah, and then you guys came back. We had we were up till, what, 3-ish?
Oh, we hit it hard when we got back from the steakhouse.
Yes. Well, no, that was Friday night that you guys did the steakhouse, wasn't it?
No, it was Wednesday night.
Was it Wednesday?
It was Wednesday.
So the case of cider was Wednesday, was after the steakhouse?
No, the case of cider was Thursday. The other case of cider was Friday.
No, those were the ones the boys bought. So it must have been Tuesday night we did the case of cider at the bar.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, Tuesday night was the night that I bought a 12-pack at the bar. The boys didn't like that, so Thursday and Friday, they went and got McGillicuddy's apple pie and 2 12-packs of Angry Orchard from a liquor store, and we just drank those in the lobby.
So Tuesday, they call last call, and we all order a round, and the guy goes, you know, it is last call. Why don't you order 2 rounds? And he pulls the box open to start restocking. And you went, how about for the whole box? And he goes, that's the right decision. Hands it to you, hands us a bottle opener and says, listen, if you guys could just put the bottle opener here when you're done. And we were like, you underestimate. We'll be done before you are.
And we were.
And we were. Because we were with Talon, and it was you, me, and Talon, Connor.
That was it.
So Talon is the operations manager for Catalyst Labs.
Yeah. He is the son of the owner.
Well, he is the son of the owner, but he's also the operations manager, and he's damn fine at it.
Oh, he earned his position.
Right.
But it's like, people are like, well, is Talon? I'm like, yeah, Talon is Lauren's son.
It was Thursday or Friday when he was telling us about his other things. And I was like, this is an overachiever from the jump.
Oh, yes. Talon's good dude.
Super good dude. Very much enjoyed hanging out with him. So, yeah. So then Wednesday was steak dinner.
Yes.
What did I end up doing? You guys fucked off to steak. And I kind of came down, was chilling by myself, looking around, chatted with a few people I didn't know at the bar, was starting to make some friends. And then my buddy Scott was like, hey, we're walking in. And so I walked over and started chatting with them, hung out with them a bunch. When you guys came back from dinner, that's when you brought Red and Thor with you.
Yes.
Which I've known about Red for, I don't know, shit, how long have you guys lived together and known each other? A damn good time.
6-7 years now?
But this is the first time we got to meet.
And who doesn't love a 6'2 ginger that's actually named Red?
Correct. I don't know if it was Connor or one of the other boys, but they were like, is Red your actual last name? Yes. You're for real one. Uh-huh.
Evan looked over at me and he goes, Red tells stories like old people fuck. But Red makes it funny, though.
Red is hilarious. His little asides that he does are hysterical.
And it just gets better the more he drinks.
Yeah. So Thursday...
Day one of the show.
Day one of the show. We've been up all night. You and I do what you and I do. Boom, we're awake.
That was the morning that you all said I Undertaker sat up in bed.
Yes. So this is where I had so much pride for Connor. So I would wake up, jump in the shower. As soon as I get out of the shower, he's like, hey, what's going on? I was like, yeah, motherfucker, get up early with the rest of us.
He didn't have a choice.
He didn't have a problem. He was just up. Every time I would come out of the shower, he was awake. I was like, that's my man.
And usually what woke me up was hearing you guys talking.
Yeah. Thursday at 2:00. It's been a good day. I haven't been overwhelmed, but I've been busy. I've stayed busy. I've made some good sales. I walked around with Mike a few times. I weirded out a lady that he was trying to do business with. Because he introduced himself and starts talking business, and I'm just standing there.
Yeah.
So when she finally addresses me, he goes, oh, sorry, that's Jason. He helps get me to where I'm going because I get distracted.
That's fair.
At 2:00, Jay was like, you know, you've been here all day. Your shift's over. You guys should go and get food. And I was like, Jay, you got to calm down, man. I know how to play this game. I'm going to leave. I'm not going to overstress myself, but I do appreciate your concern.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometime after 2:00, we all congregated, and you guys said, lobster truck.
The lobster rolls.
Fuck me, dude.
Yeah.
I looked at the prices.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I don't want to pay $32 for a meal. And especially because I'm running off whatever cash is in my pocket from toys I paid for earlier.
You know I'd have bought you one.
I know you would have, but I walked down...
And those fucking noodles were delicious because I got those the next day.
I found a Filipino joint doing pancit with the egg roll and the pork on a stick. Oh my God, it was so good.
That's what I got the next day.
Yeah. So we all sit down and you're like, here, try this lobster. And I was like, shit, that's good lobster. And you know, I live in Nashville. I'm used to kind of poor lobster. I'm used to garbage lobster. We're hanging out. I tried a couple pieces of your lobster. You tried some of the noodle. We get up. We run into 2 Chainz who says, Glenn, I got a sandwich for you.
Yep.
Hands you a lobster sandwich.
The same one I always get. It's the lobster with salmon on top.
Yes. You and I both, we're wrecked. We're full. We can't eat another bite. But you've been given food as a gift. You eat half the sandwich. Give it to me. I eat the other half. We both pat the bellies and waddle our way down the street.
Back to the hall where the air conditioning lives.
The smoked salmon on that lobster roll was fantastic. That lobster roll was more like a lobster hoagie. it was not small. It was
no.
It was hefty. And I would have gotten lobster the next day, Friday, but that line was so long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. I get it one time. Because the line is always long unless you get there early.
Yeah. We weren't getting anywhere early because we weren't leaving the hall until 2 o'clock to go get lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
I walked the whole street and there's a good 20 to 30 food trucks between what's on the street, both sides, and then what's in the big parking lot. It was nice. We just kind of grabbed some food. The very next day, I went to a different spot and joined you guys. And you would hit, I don't remember what it was called, something the Bay.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but that's what I wanted, the noodles.
It was phenomenal. I would have enjoyed trying out some of those other trucks, but sometimes the lines were just so aggressive. I went and found one with a smaller line. But regardless, I had great food.
We ate well.
But it was 1:30 Friday afternoon, day two, when enough people were asking to meet Mike that someone put in his head we should have a signing.
Oh, my God.
And he comes to you and goes, Glenn, we're talking about a signing. And you went, we should do that tomorrow.
We're going to do it tomorrow at noon.
And then you pulled, I don't know if you pulled Jay or Barefoot. You pulled somebody to the side and was like, tell him 1 o'clock Saturday. We'll do a signing for 1 hour. It'll be good. Everybody will get their turn. And we're not doing it right now when he doesn't feel good. And it's spur of the moment and yada, yada.
Yep.
And they convinced him. It doesn't take a lot of convincing. He's smart and it was a good idea. So Friday, after we had food, we went back to the hall and the hall closed at 6 and we hung about until a little after 5.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't feel like staying until 6, so we didn't. Went back, refreshed, got drinks. But walking around the hall was great. So Thursday morning, I walked around with Barefoot. Or was that Friday morning? One of those mornings.
No, that was Thursday. That was day one.
I walked around with Barefoot before the show opened, and he and I were like, oh, shit, we have a... It was day one, because I bought that one book. And it's the only thing I bought for myself the whole weekend. He's a big Fabula Ultima guy. So he knew a new book was out. So we're walking around. We look at some new League of Legends card game. We're sitting there BSing. We were supposed to go to the demo room, and we poked our head out of the door, and the line was so thick. He was like, I'm going to come and do this later. So we ended up just kind of walking around together and bullshitting. Had a lot of shit in common. It's a great dude to talk to. We ran over and talked to the Italian dudes, and we both bought their natural something, but it's the new Fabula Ultima book. I don't know if it's your kind of game, but the next time you're in town, if I can find which box it's in, I'll dig it out and I'll show it to you.
Okay.
Or if I have the PDF, I'll send it to you. You might be interested. It's definitely JRPG inspired.
Okay.
But the whole premise of the game is, not the premise of the game, but the way the classes is set up is you just make up your own race. Doesn't matter what species you are, whatever. But your classes, everything you do is you take two classes and you join them together, or three classes right from the very beginning. And then as you level up, you have to level up. If you can't have more than three classes at a time, you have to level one to max to get rid of it. To then you take another class and you continue to multi-class and just build a mishmash of these different classes to build the kind of thing you want to make.
Oh, okay.
So if you want a dark knight, you take magics and knights and build it together. And, you know, so it's interesting. Anyway, I haven't played it, but I've read all the books. And then Friday morning, I walked around with, or maybe that was Saturday morning. Shit, the world is kind of weird. I walked around with Shadowrun Rob a bunch.
That was Saturday.
Yeah. So then Friday morning, I walked around with Antonio. Antonio is fantastic. He was your roommate at PAX?
Yeah, he was my roommate at PAX.
And I don't think I met him at PAX because he was always gone when you and I were hanging out.
No, we went out for drinks with him that one night.
Then I forgot that. But I hung out with him a bunch here and kept trying to get him to hang out after the show, but he lived 15 minutes away, so he just kept going home.
I don't blame him.
Yeah. And I think he had a buddy in town who was staying with him as well, who he kept telling me, he was like, hey, my buddy's really into G.I. Joe. He's really into action figures. He's got a bunch of questions for you. Let's go. He showed up and his only question was, how much do you think it would cost me to get like a vintage Snake Eyes with the wolf? It's like, that's a pretty easy one. He didn't really have anything else. But I think Noel said Frank has a bunch of vintage toys that he wants to talk to me about. But Frank and I have been communicating over Discord since Gen Con's over, and he has not brought up those vintage toys yet. So I'll have to ask him about it. But since they're about an hour outside of Indianapolis, it'd be real easy for us to get those from him to me if that's what he wants to do. You walked around with other people in the mornings while I was walking around with Rob, Antonia, and Barefoot.
I usually walked around with, like, Connor.
Yeah.
Unless he was walking around with Lex.
Was that Thursday night or Friday night?
That was Thursday night.
Lex is Lauren's daughter.
Yes.
She was in a crowd of dudes, and I don't know if it was you or somebody else was like, hey, you got to meet this guy. And I walk over, and it's this old guy, Rhett.
Rhett, yep.
He worked for FASA?
Yeah, he worked for FASA. He was wearing a Jade Falcon Elemental t-shirt, which is a classic Battletech t-shirt.
Yes. He's one of the legends that have been around forever. And he and I start chatting. We start talking about old artists and pre-production artwork, things like that. And obviously, I don't have his knowledge from the gaming community, but, you know, I know some things. And so we're just having a good conversation. I know the artists he's bringing up. He knows the ones I'm bringing up. Lex interrupts us to say something to him. And he was like, have you met? So I got to meet her. And we just had, like, three of us ended up in a great conversation. And I immediately was like, okay, I don't know who she is at first, but I know she's a con kid. And then Lauren came over and gave her a kiss on the head. And I was like, okay, it's Lauren's daughter. Got it. But I could tell she was a con kid because she was at ease with all the old heads. And she's trying to talk Rhett into tattoos with her.
Hell, I'd go get a tattoo with her and Rhett.
Yeah.
But no, it's just, you know, I told the boys, I'm like, the lobby at night after the show's over, that's what the convention is.
Well, and that's what we were talking about earlier with the with overscheduling is I would say, hey, we're in the lobby. Oh, I've got a game at 7. I've got a game at 9. I've got a game at 10. People had scheduled events all the way till midnight.
Yes.
And so they weren't showing up at the lobby. And we were in the lobby every night. It was like, if you want us, I will come to you, but I'm not getting in an Uber.
Yeah, but all of us in our group, we all work booths.
Yeah. I was invited to several dinners, but all of them were anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes away by car.
No.
Genuinely, it might have been faster than, you know, standing at line at the calzone joint to drive 30 minutes away, get food without a line and drive back. But I don't want to get in an Uber. I want to walk. I want to get the blood flowing. I don't want to sit in a car and get sleepy. I want to walk, stand, get drinks, have conversations, be in a crowd.
And the boys learned very rapidly that it's, you just keep going. You keep going. You go crash out for 4 or 5 hours and away we go.
Yeah. So the boys, Connor has been to Gen Con once before.
Yes.
He's been to Planet Comic Con.
Twice.
Has he been to any other conventions?
No. Evan has been to Planet Comic Con once. Christian has never been to any.
Wow. All right. So that's where I was going with this. It says Planet is a great comic book convention. It's nice and large, but not too big. Great entry point. There's awesome cosplayers with the finest Tiger Hawks are always there. The 501st is always there. You have a great vendor row, so you can buy plenty of good shit. Artist Alley is amazing. And then if you like your signatures, they've got celebrities.
Yes.
So it's a solid Comic-Con that has incorporated multiple pieces without murdering the comic book side of it for celebrities, which I fucking hate. Gen Con is a whole other beast. And so for Evan to only have one con before this, for Christian to have never gone to a con and walk in straight into Gen Con, they were awesome.
Well, Christian said it best. That's like our family's mantra. Oh, you want to do something? Fuck you. Here's the deep end.
That is true.
And oh my God. Connor like got the Rona last year. So like the last day and a half of the con, he was like dying. And he had fun last year, but he had a lot more fun this year.
Sure. And to be fair to all three of those boys, because they don't do what you and I do, they're not concred immune.
No.
You and I are concred immune.
Yeah, I do believe, yes.
I didn't realize that I mean, I knew they weren't, you know, lifelong con goers, but I didn't realize that Christian's first convention was Gen Con, which means he's ruined from here out. He's going to walk into a show of about 20,000 people and be like, well, this is fucking dead.
Yeah, this is fucking lame. All right, I saw the three booths I wanted to see. Now what?
Yeah, which I don't think is fair. Some of my favorite cons are less than 1,000 people.
I cannot wait to go to a toy con with you.
Well, unfortunately, I will not be doing Assembly Required this year. I've tried to get you to come up to the last couple, but you're always busy on that weekend. But this weekend, I'm busy. Alexander will be on stage doing the middle his eighth grade musical.
Is that the one that's in Des Moines?
Yes.
Okay.
It's in Des Moines. And if you go up to it, it's incredible. But I will be there next year for sure.
Then I'll go next year with you.
I go to a lot. So if you want the largest lobby, it's going to be Des Moines and it's going to be Joe Fest.
Either one. I'll go either one. I don't care.
Shit, go to both. Fuck it.
And then Alexander gets to hang out with me and you.
Yes, he gets to see the problem that the boys got to see this time. It is. You and I both our styles are slightly different, but we come at things the same way, and it's just all attack. If I know you, you're going to know them. I'm going to introduce you to everybody I know. You're going to introduce someone to everybody that you know. And then, like we told the boys, right? I open the door, it's yours to fuck up.
Yes.
And the boys are quieter than you and I. Even Connor, who is not as quiet, I mean, he's louder than the other two. But by the end of the weekend, they were never wilting flowers.
No.
They were quiet until they were like, oh, is it shit talking time? I gotta say, man, just take the con out of it. Just the five of us sitting around stacking shit on each other was some of my favorite moments of the con.
Oh, yeah. And then throw in Red and Thor.
Well, yes. And so then you take it back to the convention and you have Red and Thor come in, and they were hilarious and no mercy.
None. Absolutely not.
And then you guys introduced me to Mike No.
Yeah, Mike No.
Who is one of the legends. So
yes,
he was with Raul Partha back in 1980.
Yeah, 1982 or 84 is when he started with Raul Partha, and then it became Iron Wind, and he just recently sold.
Yes, because he also did FASA for a while when there was some ownership stuff there, but he sold Iron Wind.
To Catalyst, yes.
Yeah, to Catalyst. And Red runs Iron Wind in Cincinnati for Catalyst.
Yes.
Mike was a blast.
Mike is awesome.
Yes. Mike is awesome. He had good stories. I think you're pretty comfortable in your skin. I am too. I don't think any of us are that comfortable in our skin.
Mike has zero fucks.
Yes.
Mike ran security at the Easy Rider Biker Rodeo for like 12 years. And he's 5'8", buck 50.
Yeah. And at one point he was telling us about his wife, the third or fourth time she went to jail, and this time she went to jail, and this time she held a knife to some guy's throat.
Oh, she's awesome. I love her. We all call her mom.
He was incredible.
And then you went with those guys to the Hilton.
Yeah.
You got to meet Stefano, too.
I did. I did get to meet Stefano. Stefano Picorni?
Yeah, something like that. He's a big-time DM. He does a lot of streams. And he owns Dwarven Forge.
Which is, wow, gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that he did a bunch of streams. I know at one point we walked over to the booth in the morning and asked if he was around, and the guy working the booth was like, oh, he's here, but he's done fucked off already. He doesn't stay at the booth anymore. He's out playing games.
Yeah, that's what he does.
He played games all day, and then in the evening, he was housed hanging out with
us. Yes.
So we walk into that bar. We see Stefano. Red is trying to say hi to him, and there's these two guys that are like hyper, hyper enthusiastic, loud, and they're chatting at him. And he's got a drink in hand, hat cocked crooked, big dumb smile on his face. He's clearly enjoying watching these two people just, and I don't know if it was Red or somebody, or maybe it was somebody outside of our group, but somebody goes, do you know who you're talking to? They're like, no, who? And they're told, and then their enthusiasm went from 11 to 14. And they're still wearing their badges, and they're building the long trail of ribbons. I think Red's getting irritated because, like, now they're roping Mike into it. And he's like, we just came to have a nice drink. And they keep bumping into me and I'm trying to be polite. I don't know them. So I grabbed the one who's bumped into me like three times. I was like, hey, man, you having a good night? He's like, I'm having a blast. I said, is this your very first con ever or just your first Gen Con? He goes, I've never been to a convention before. I'm from Canada. This is amazing. Where's your badge? And I went, well, the show closed 5 hours ago, so my badge is in the hotel room. And he's like, I'm never taking this off. Breaks out of my arms, grabs Stefano, and they want to do a photo. And they are so drunk and so happy that I finally got irritated and start snapping in one of their faces, give me your phone. To which Thor and Red are now in tears laughing at me because they were like, well, aren't you grumpy? Take a couple pictures. I set the phone on the bar so they have to go get it. And so Red has a minute to talk to Stefano, and Stefano's like, dude, I'll catch up with you guys in a minute. I'm having fun. And then he drags Mike into it, and the two of them hung out with those new guys.
But that's what Stefano and Mike do.
100%. And so we just moved away, and we just had fun watching these two new guys explode with enthusiasm.
And they were having a great, they were living their best damn life.
They were. And so at one point I go, is Mike all right? Because Mike is so neutral. I can't tell if he's having a good time or not. And Red goes, he's a biker. If he didn't want to be there, he wouldn't. He's so neutral. I can't tell if he's having a good time. He goes, oh, he's having a blast. And after about 45 minutes, the two of them walked back over. Those guys fucked off into the street. And they were like, that was so much fun. Those guys were shiny brand new and we loved it.
Dude, Stefano is awesome. When he moved out to the Puget Sound, I was at his housewarming party. And he has a beautiful house.
He's in Puget Sound, I'm sure.
Like, no, his backyard is like literally like 50 yards of grass down beach, Puget Sound.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Yeah, like I'm in his backyard smoking a cigarette watching, you know, orcas, like a pod of orcas swim. But, oh, yeah, dude. Stefano's awesome. Mike's awesome. And then you said you got to meet Luke.
I think I don't remember which hotel we were in. The Hyatt, maybe? I don't know. We walk out of that hotel to go back to the hotel that Mike and Red and Thor are staying at. As soon as we walk out, there's this absolute unit of muscle.
Oh, yeah. Luke's big as fuck now.
And this small gal standing there, both dark-headed, look dressed nice. And they yell over at Red and Mike and Thor. And so we walk over. And they were like, oh, yeah. Jason, this is Luke Gygax.
Yep.
So Luke and I shake hands. And then I shake hands with his wife, B. Red goes, Jason is one of Beast's best friends. And Luke's demeanor was friendly. And then it changed to, oh, you're close with, you know, you, Glenn. And he was like, I haven't seen him this whole weekend. I was hoping he was here. I was going to go find him. I don't think he ever found you.
He did not, but that's okay.
And I know he said he was pretty busy. Like he didn't even make it onto the floor before that moment. You know, so we sat and chatted with him for about 15 minutes, and then we all kind of went our separate ways. And by the time I walked back into the Omni, Scott was downstairs with some friends. So I go down into the basement.
That's where you played the card game.
It is. So there's five people at a table, and from my vantage point, I could see Scott's face, and I could see Hunter's face. And I just met Hunter like 2 days before. I don't really know him. But I go bebopping in. And I swing around the table. I sit down next to Scott. We give each other a hug, start chatting. And I haven't even looked up yet. So we're just chatting. And, you know, somebody on the other side of the table clears their throat like I'm being rude or something. I look up and it's two buddies I haven't seen in 6 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. I've seen Dolphus and I see Chris. They're roommates. They live walking distance from the show. So they don't even have con tickets. Dolphus is working for the show. And Chris is just showing up at night to hang out and game.
And that was that was Saturday night, because you came up to the lobby at like 20 to 3.
I'm going to bed at 2:30. I got to get up early for Sunday morning, and we may or may not be driving tomorrow. No problem. Hugs all around. I walk upstairs, and before I get to the elevator, I see you in the lobby. Because you had been gone for most of the night, because you had hung out with a couple other people.
Yes.
Which we hadn't even talked about, some of the people that you introduced me to or that I already knew. We get upstairs. I was like, oh, yeah, there's a basement. I didn't know there was a basement. Well, who's down there? Oh, my buddy Scott, Dolphus, and Chris. I want to meet him. Well, fuck yes, you want to meet him. Let's go. So we walk downstairs. And as soon as we walk in the room, Scott's like, I thought you were going to bed. I was, but I ran into Glenn. Glenn, this is Scott. Scott, you got to meet Glenn, Dolphus, Chris.
Yep, good guys.
And then the other two guys, the other two guys, Lou and Hunter.
And I had met Hunter evidently that the one night we really tied one on, and I might have been slightly intoxicated.
Yes, that was steak joint night, because I was introduced to him through Scott. And so Scott and his wife, or they used to be in the comic community like you are in the gaming community. And evidently Hunter and his wife, Leslie, are kind of that in the gaming community. And Scott's wife does not game, so she doesn't come. I had met Leslie, who is super lovely, very charming, and Hunter and that crew a couple nights prior. And so we sit down, and Hunter was like, Scott told me you've never been to the show before. I haven't. But you know all of Catalyst Labs. Sure, I do now. And you know all of Monster Fight Club. Well, sure, I do now. And you know this, and you know this group, and that group, and this group. And you know three of the five people at this table. I was like, yeah. He goes, I thought you were new. And I was like, uh-huh, I am new. And he goes, who are you? And I was like, I'm Jason. And it kind of vexed him for a minute. And then Scott goes, even when Jason's new, he's never new. That's just Jason.
Yeah.
And then you walk in, and I'm like, this is Glenn. And he was like, just Glenn? And you were like, yeah, I'm just Glenn.
Just
and
Glenn.
He was like, all right.
I'm just Glenn.
Sure. I've already met just Jason. You're just Glenn.
That's all I am.
But Scott, Dolphus, and Chris are giggling. They've never met you before, but they know me. And I told them that you and I are kind of the same in circles. So they know what you are, even if they don't know who you are. So they're giggling at Hunter just being like, fuck, okay, I guess. And then the fifth guy at the table, Lou, who seemed very sweet. He just was accepting of everything. He was like, you're friends with Scott, so you're cool with me. That's all I know.
Yeah. And I just show up with you and they're like, Glenn, this is about, I was like, hey, everybody.
Yeah.
So you're just Glenn. I am just Glenn.
And I had already been just Jason, which, you know, I don't mean anything mean or rude by it. I'm nobody. I'm just here to hang out.
I just know people.
I just know people. Nobody's asking for my signature. I'm not Paladin. I just
want to. You asshole. It is funny, though. See, last year, Connor was at the Monster Fight Club booth.
Yes.
And he started selling the Monster Fight Club Team Monster Edgerunner packs. And he was like, this guy right here is in the Artalsorian booth. He'll sign the card if you take it over to him. So like one day I'm signing the card after card. And I'm like, where the fuck is all this coming from? And I talked to him. I was like, who the fuck was sending all these people over to get me to sign their fucking cards? Connor was like, I did it. I go, fuck it. I don't care. I love it. It's fine.
They're pushing Mike Pondsmith out of the way to get Paladin's signature. Monster Fight Club, by the way. Those people were super sweet.
They are. John's a good man.
Yeah. I did not get much of a chance to interface with John or get to know him. I just chatted with him a couple times. But the couple, I talked to them a bunch.
Alex and Kai?
Alex and Kai. They seemed super sweet.
They're super nice. Audrey is a sweetheart.
I did not get much of a chance to talk to Audrey, but you guys introduced me to her.
She is such a sweetheart.
There was a couple other people there that you introduced me to, but I didn't really get a chance to talk to. But out of Monster Fight Club, Alex and Kai were the two I talked to the most. And they just seemed genuinely very sweet. And it messes people up, though, because nobody calls you Glenn at the show.
No one.
So I was calling you Glenn and got yelled at.
By who?
By people in the Artal booth. Because they were like, if you keep saying Glenn, we're not going to know who you're talking about. You have to say Beast.
Whatever.
I think Mike is the only one that calls you Glenn in that group.
He is.
There was a moment where Cody and I were sitting there chatting. He was like, you have been so much help at this booth. And I so much appreciate it. I was like, dude, I would rather work a booth than just attend a show. Mm-hmm. It gives me something to do other than just spend money. I get to feel useful and I enjoy it.
Yes.
I like setup and breakdown.
I like interacting with the people.
Correct.
Because they're coming to the booth to buy a good product.
Yes. Whether that is vintage toys at, you know, all the Joe shows or, you know, at this show.
They came to your booth for a reason.
Yes. And at this show, they're buying The Witcher. They're buying Cyberpunk. They're buying now Shadow Scar. And they're buying reprints of old games. So old, you know, Cyberpunk 2013, 2020, or Falkenstein.
And Mechton, yeah.
The number of people that came by and were like, oh shit, Mechton. Hey man, I can get you in a Mechton book today.
Now, what's funny, Mike used to write for West End Games, Star Wars.
Yes. Yeah, he told us that at PAC.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that is the one disappointing thing of Gen Con is we never really rolled dice.
Well, him and Lisa got sick.
But even still, like, we could have found a dice game to get into, but we just didn't. That's not true. We rolled dice for a 10-minute D&D game.
That was such, oh my God, that was so much fun at Beetle and Grimm.
Was that part of their faster purple worm kill kill, or was that...
I guess. I don't know.
Just something they were doing for the show.
I don't know. I don't care. It was a blast.
When we sat down, Beetle was not there, but Grimm was. Grimm was running the game. He had a dragon in the middle of a map, and the dragon had 1,000 hit points. By the time we sat down, it's late in the afternoon. It's after 2 p.m. It's after we've eaten lobster and noodles. It was at 9:60. We sat down, and there's a stack of like 100 character sheets.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are level one. Connor grabs one. Christian grabs one. Evan grabs one. You were like, I want the fighter. And then as I hand out the last one, the very top one is a Goliath Barbarian.
Yep. And then he was like, come up with a name and a background for your character.
He was like, the background can't be too long. And it has to end with you being magically teleported into this dragon's lair. And so the boys were all like basically prisoners.
Yeah. All three of them were prison.
I'm a Goliath Barbarian. So we had a good drinking night. I basically told a you, me, and Boone story. And so... And also, everybody's placing their minis. They can place them anywhere they want, but there's already a bunch of dead minis all over the board because he's just not cleaning the board up. So we all choose our own mini. Everybody puts the mini behind the dragon for their one attack against this 1,000-point hit point dragon. I'm like, I wake up drunk. They rage, or I don't remember the ability. The charge has to be within 10 foot. So I put them 10 foot dead in front of the dragon. I wake up with a hangover and you smell bad. Attack.
I played a orcish barbarian named Thunk.
Thunk with a lisp.
I had a limp and a hair lip.
Yes. And my barbarian was Swoles.
Swoles. It's gains o'clock. Sun's out, guns out.
Grimm goes, listen, you do a charge attack face front in front of this dragon. He is taken aback. Roll advantage. 2d20.
Oh, yeah. The.
I pick up the 20 and I start rolling them. And you go, hey, boys, check this out. Now, I roll really good most of the time, but I think you jinxed me.
I was a quintessential Jason Merle roll, 5 and a 4 with advantage.
Grimm barks a laugh. You know him. I don't. He barks. He's already laughing at our stupidness. I biff it. So I do no damage. Then you jump in. You have the lisp and the limp, and you're over the top. Grimm is wiping his eyes with laughter.
But I hit.
But you hit.
Uh-huh. And then Connor critted.
Yes. He does an attack. When he does a wing attack, I'm so close, he actually hits me with his wing, where you guys just basically take wind damage. And I was like, well, I'm looking at my sheet. If I get hit, there's a reaction here, even though I'm dead. Yeah, I'll allow that reaction. Roll a d8. Straight 8. So I can't hit for anything, but I still damage. You live 1 hit point. The boys die. Except for, I don't remember if it was Evan or Connor, Christian. One of them had an archer that was way in the back.
Chris had the archer.
I roll my death save, and I get a 1.
That's 2. Yep, that counts as 2.
He's going to move the dragon, so he says, basically, he flies over me and tail drags me across the floor.
Tail drags.
Right, which you guys all immediately start going Thyclops.
Yes.
I was drugged by the shorter tail, to which... Grimm is just laughing. He was like, well, you guys made the story up so that he can go and kill Chris finally in the end. So it was a 10-minute D&D game.
And we all died gloriously.
We died gloriously. We had a blast.
And the next day we were somewhere and one of the boys goes, why do you want a dragon dick? And I drug my hand across your face. I go, because I'm going to get Jason with it. And they all lost it.
Yeah. The shit stacking started and never stopped.
Oh.
Sometime Saturday, the dragon died. So Sunday, they were playing something else at that table. I walked the floor multiple times. I only bought one book for me. I told you that was the Fabula Ultima. I bought a thing of dice for Alexander's cousin, which is where my car was parked. And then I bought the same set of dice for Alexander. And I bought a couple other sets of dice for him and a pack of cards for him, which is a cool concept. And the cards are really nice. But walking around, I normally walk around cons by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I will walk around a con together for about 5 minutes and then we'll go our separate ways. You're looking at something, I keep going, or vice versa. Or I get caught in a conversation and you keep going. I'm never partnered up at a convention floor, including Alexander. And so the joke is always, where's your dad? I don't know. Where's your son? I don't know. Now, the boys, they've never been to a show this big before, that many shows. So they kind of stuck together a little bit more than you or I would. Because I know you're like me. You just kind of walk around by yourself. But this was a good chance for us to just spend time, because we don't see each other that often right now. You were out of a job. Now you're in a new job that's working all the damn time. I'm out of a job. We're not traveling a lot. We walked around more together than I've walked around a con with anybody in a long time. But there was a moment where the five of us are walking around and somebody says something about, oh, we're going to lose Jay. And I heard it and I chuckle because I hear you from the front was like, we can't lose Jay. And I'm chuckling in the back. And then something happened and I vanished.
Yeah. And one of the boys like, holy shit, we lost Jay. And Connor goes, we didn't fucking lose Jay. Jay's off doing Jay things. He'll find us. It's not like we fucking blend in. And like 38 seconds later, you like materialize beside me from a totally fucking different direction. And I turned and I was like, here's Jay. And the boys were like, where the fuck did he come from?
I stopped to buy a book and the author was there. I'm a fan of the author. So we chatted for like 10 minutes and then I just started wandering around and I stopped by Monster Fight Club and I stopped by Obijima, a few other spots, piddling about, and I turned down one aisle and about halfway down the aisle, here you guys come.
You just like showed back up beside me.
Everybody that normally listens to this podcast and sees me at shows already knows this, but the boys had never conned with me before.
Mm-mm. The boys said that they don't know if they could handle you, Boone, and I together at a con.
Well, that's because they already think Boo is some sort of wild fey.
There is that.
Or a cultist.
No, he would be the leader.
Yes. Either way, yes, it would be a lot of fun. I would enjoy the three of us moving through a crowd together. You know, even at PAX, I fucked off and I was hanging out by myself for most of that weekend. And then I would pop up and you'd be like, hey, show up at the booth. Or, hey, we're going to go do something with Mike. Or I would get bored doing something by myself and I'd show up. Where's Glenn? Oh, he's off with Mike. All right. And I'll just go fuck off somewhere.
Dude, one of my fondest memories still of PAX was like 17 seconds into the first day. And you and Cliffy and me went outside to smoke. And I like went out the exit only door. And you didn't ask any questions.
No.
And Cliff's like, how are we going to get back in? And you were like, he's got it. I promise.
You introduced me to a lady that I don't know what her job or her function was at Gen Con. I don't know if she's running shit or if she was...
Leah, she is. She runs Lucas Stadium.
Okay. So she's the boss over all of the workers at Lucas Stadium.
I think so.
Okay. You were like, listen, you're going to love this lady. She's a barbarian. You're going to love her. I said, cool. And I had seen her the day before when she had come into the booth, picked Connor up off the ground to hug him, set it back down and left.
Yes. That's what happens when you're a 6'2 Valkyrie Shield Maiden.
Yes. We go down into Lucas. We get to the floor. You introduce me to her. And within about 13 seconds, I turned to you and I said, holy fuck, she's one of us. And you giggled and said, yes. And she goes, what's that mean? I went, chuckles.
Yes.
Well, she doesn't know what chuckles means, but you did. She was like, oh yeah, I know. You need something? I know a guy. And I'm like, all right. She was incredible.
Yes.
We sat and chatted and had a great time. She showed some fun photos and told some great stories. The next night, we all got together and had a meal. She was fantastic. I would absolutely hang out with her any given time. And she looked at Mike and was like, Jason's invited to Barbarian, yes?
Yeah, that's the way Leah is.
And Mike was like, this Jason? Yes, of course. Like, I already like him. He's in.
And that means you're in, Jay.
And I went, I can't make that weekend. And she was like, you better kill somebody to make that weekend.
Oh, and don't forget, I introduced you to Amanda.
Yes. Which Amanda is also a barbarian person, which Tiny.
And she, as you put it, is the most, or is it Christian, is the most overactive chipmunk ever.
That was Christian. I think I said that she was, I was like, oh, I can tell there's a lot in that small package.
Yes.
And you were like, yeah, don't fuck with her.
No. She threatened to kill me. She goes, if you don't move that fucking generator from away from my tent tonight, you aren't going to breathe in the morning either. And she fucking meant it, you know, all 5 foot of her.
Yeah. She was going to climb your big ass and do it.
I went, yes, ma'am. And I moved it.
I'm sure. Barbarian sounds like a lot of fun. Not 2025 for me, but if I'm still invited in 2026, shit, watch out. Yeah, I said, oh, I'm going to a wedding. She was like, people get married all the time. How much do you like those people?
Well, this will probably also be Crazy's last Barbarian.
Her cancer's
real bad.
Yeah. You know, I've never met her. That would be...
When she met Connor last year, and Connor went to walk, to go to the bathroom, she watched him walk away, looked me dead in the face, and said, if I was 25 years younger, I'd fuck him till he died.
This is the same, like, I've never met her, but, like, this was the same lady that Mike was telling me about her fourth and fifth time she went to jail, and the cops looking at her rap sheet and being like, holy shit, and mm-hmm. her pulling knives on people, and mm-hmm. so I believe...
What can I say? I make good-looking kids.
Your son? I would hurt him.
Yeah, and she said it way worse than that. And she was like, she looked at me, she's like, holy shit, damn, you did good. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I know.
It was fun being able to hang and spend that kind of time with Connor and with Evan and with Christian. I'd met Connor more than once, but I'd only met the boys like once before. Mm-hmm. But being able to spend a whole weekend with them was quite the joy. I've already talked to Barefoot a couple times. I did not trade numbers with Dolan or with Cody.
You know, I don't even have Barefoot's number.
But you have Mike's number.
Yeah.
Barefoot lives probably 7 hours south of me.
Hey, next time you talk to him, give him my number.
I will. I talked to him yesterday because I'd sent him. So Saturday all day long, we kept telling people, yeah, we're going to have a signing. It's going to be at 1 p.m.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
We're not announcing it. So just be here at 1. So should I be here at 12:30? And before you could answer, I was like, no, you should absolutely not. You should be here at 12:57. We're not starting a line at 12:30 in the middle of the booth. We're selling product. Mm-hmm. You giggled and the dude was like, yeah, my bad. That makes perfect sense. I'll be here at 1. And I wasn't mean about it, but I definitely was like, no, please don't just stand in the middle of this booth at 12:30.
Yeah.
Around 12:30, there was a group of guys just kind of standing in the booth. I didn't know if they were waiting for somebody, what they were doing. But after about 15 minutes, and I had to walk around them a couple different times, I finally was like, I need you guys to excuse me so that I can help people trying to purchase. And they got super embarrassed. And I wasn't mean about it, but I was direct. Because I don't know who you are. You're not buying anything. But I'm now having to circumvent you to help customers.
Yeah.
And I noticed they went and stood against this, another booth's back wall. And were just staring at our booth. And I was like, oh, they're waiting for the signing. Got it.
Yeah. And then when Mike showed up, we rearranged things.
Yeah, you walked up to me and were like, all right, we're doing this. You take the front, I got the back. And I said, got it.
Connor, you stay here. Boys, you're line control. I'm doing this. Antonio's over there. And everybody was just like, done.
Yeah, you were like, you take the front, I'll take the back. And then you started chatting at other people. And I grabbed the first person and was like, come here. And then I heard Mike say, you know, the first person that asked to take a picture, he was like, can you do it in front of the table? I've not been feeling well. And from that point, he didn't say another word. Just every single person, I was like, here's what we're doing. And we'd planned for 1 hour, and we had a steady line. The line was steady for 45 minutes, and then Rhett stood in line and then took up like 10 minutes while the line just rebuilt behind him.
Well, Rhett comes up, and I go, hey, Rhett, what are you doing? And Rhett, God love me, looked at me. He's like, I'm going to be a fanboy. I'm getting an autograph. Shut up. I went, okay.
Well, when he walked, I was like, why are you in line? He was like, because I wanted to be. I was like, you didn't have to. And he goes, I wanted to be. And I just quit talking at that point. I was like, okay, well, he wanted to be.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with him.
Correct. I said it twice. Same answer both times. I'm good. But while he was chatting for like 5 or 10 minutes, the whole line kept building. And so then you were like, hey, we got to wrap this up 5 till 2. So we burned through those last few people and then got Mike to his meeting on time. But during that line, because I'm at the front of the line kind of controlling people when they could walk up, and Connor's making sure nobody like oversteps their bounds next to Mike, I'm taking photos for everybody. But there were two people that Barefoot wasn't there to take photos for the first half. So one guy wanted Mike to sign his arm so he could get it tattooed on. And Mike was like, no one's ever done that before. And the guy was like, here's what I want it.
I love it. I love it.
So I snapped a quick picture. You know, I've seen people do that with Ron Rudat with G.I. Joe. And we've seen it with Larry Hama. We've seen it with Stan Lee. So I've seen that before. I think the guy should have like laid his arm on the table and so that Mike could have gotten a better way to sign. So I don't know how well that's going to turn out, but he had Mike sign his arm. He's going to get it tattooed. I think it's awesome. And then one other guy brought like a body pillow with, and I don't know the character's name, but one of the cyberpunk characters.
Adam Smasher.
Adam Smasher. Thank you. So it's pink. It's a pink pillow on one side with Adam Smasher. And then you flipped it over and it was black with Adam Smasher. And he had a bunch of highlights and shit. And I took a picture of that because it was unique. And Mike loved that. And so he signed the pillowcase. Those were the only two I took a picture of on my phone. Yesterday, I was talking to Barefoot and I sent him those two pictures. I had a blast at the bar with Barefoot. He was like, listen, I've been awake for 18 hours. I'm going to have one drink and I've got to go to bed. Hey, no problem, bud. We're sitting here chatting. I was like, hey, you know, it's been 2 hours. So now you've been up for 20. I'm going to bed. The next thing I know, the whole round has bought a drink and he sits down with you and he's got a full glass of whiskey. I said, what happened? He goes, I couldn't go to sleep. I was like, you were gone for 15 minutes. And he was like, yep. Next thing I know, you and him are like going hard at it. I come over and he's hanging on me now because he's been going hard with you and we're doing drinks. I think you guys both talked to the same girl at one point.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad about that.
He didn't. He thought it was amazing. He's hanging on me being like, look at this motherfucker go. I had such a blast with Rob.
Rob is a good dude.
Well, I met him at PAX, but I didn't know him. He was the only dude at the booth, not wearing an Artel shirt, not working Artel booth, but just kind of hanging out what it looked like. But I didn't know him. What he was doing was all the media shit. He was working his ass off at PAX.
Yeah. And he's such a good dude.
He wasn't working the way the rest of the booth was. I didn't know who he was, but like you introduced me to him.
Neither was I.
Neither were you, but I was doing what you were doing at PAX, hanging out with Mike. But this time, you know, getting to walk around with him in the morning and then getting to drink with him, I was like, I could kick it with this dude every day.
Oh, yeah.
Great dude. I think it was Sunday morning. It might have been Saturday morning. Yeah, it was Saturday morning. Sunday morning was, we were a bit slow Sunday morning because we were packing up all our shit. So Saturday morning, I came down and I got some food and you guys were still getting ready. And I see Jay and Rob sit down and they both wave at me as I'm coming out of the cafe. They said something to me and, you know, I'm not as deaf as you are, but I'm half-ass deaf. Mm-hmm. So I walk over and we chat for a minute and Rob was like, you going to sit down? And I was like, if you guys are doing business, I'm going to walk because I ain't business. I'm just the help. And Jay was like, well, we are talking business, but you can still join us. I was like, all right, Jay. I ate breakfast chatting with the two of them, had a great time. I really like the Artel crew.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime they want me to work for them, I'll work for them. If that means selling books, I'm in. If that means being the salt to your pepper, I'm good with that too. If it's a hybrid game, I'm in. You know?
Dude, that day me and you at PAX, and you just looked at me and you're like, there's a line behind me.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had been chatting with Mike for about 10 minutes. And Mike created Mechton, Falkenstein, and Cyberpunk, the role-playing game. So Cyberpunk, what, 2013, then 2020 and Red. And
yeah.
He created Artel.
He did not invent Cyberpunk.
Nope.
The genre, but he definitely revolutionized it.
So he didn't write Neuromancer, but his footprint in the genre is very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I are sitting here talking to him about Star Wars because he told us he wrote for West End Games, which is both of our favorite Star Wars game. He's telling me how he knows Daryl the Priest, which I forgot to get a picture of he and I to send to Daryl, but that's all right. So he's like, oh, you're a G.I. Joe guy. I know Daryl the Priest. I used to hang out with him. And then he pulls open his phone and he's showing me where he took the B-Wing and is chopping the B-Wing up. And he has G.I. Joe action figures he's customized. And you were like, yeah, he's also a fabricator. So we're having this great Star Wars conversation. It's going long, 10, 15 minutes. And then I realize there's like 8 people behind me.
Mm-hmm.
I would have said something this weekend, but at PAX, I just met them and I'm not on staff. So I did the irresponsible thing. You're on staff. You just kind of stepped behind me and was like, Mike's in a meeting right now. He's not doing signings. He'll do signings in a little bit.
Yep.
And then, you know, like half an hour later, he was meeting people. Like, we finished our conversation. I moved out of the way and you let a line form and he started meeting and signing people and I wandered off.
Yes.
Which again, when you were like, we're doing a signing, you take the front, I got the back. I was like, yeah, well, I know how this game works. I've worked security and I've worked shows and I've done handling and this is easy.
Yeah.
And Mike's crowd is super polite and respectful. Nobody argued. Nobody pushed, shoved. Nobody complained that they couldn't hug him. Like, they had to sit on the front side of the table to take a picture with him. Everybody was super respectful. One guy, he goes, hey, what do you think Mike would say if I asked him to sign a copy of Neuromancer? You want Mike to sign a book he didn't write? He goes, no, but it's Mike and it's Cyberpunk. And I was like, well, then I say you should ask him. And the worst he's going to tell you is, no, I didn't write that book, so I won't sign it.
Mm-hmm.
He asked Mike, and Mike was like, well, that's a bit odd. But Mike signed it. And then the dude ran over and asked Rhett to sign it. So I don't know what Rhett had to do with Neuromancer or Cyberpunk, but, you know, he worked for FASA, so he worked on mechs. I don't know. He showed it to Rhett and was asking Rhett. I don't know if Rhett signed it or not.
I don't know.
He saw Rhett outside the booth and, like, ran over to him. And that was right before Rhett got in line. I was too busy to pay much attention. I just saw he, like, had the book in his hand, showed it to him, and was like, you know, will you sign this? And then I went back to helping people.
I was just people wrangling at a line.
Yes. You were making sure that the line didn't spill out into the causeway.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gen Con does not play with...
No, they do not.
With clogged walkways.
Dude, I had so much fun.
I think it was the Hunter guy. He was like, so if you've never been to Gen Con, why this year? I said, I'm here by the grace of Artel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, excuse me? I am here at their kindness and at their women will. How do you know them? My buddy Glenn. How does Glenn know him?
Just Glenn.
Glenn knows everybody.
Tip.
How do you know Glenn? I know everybody.
You're just Jason. I'm just Glenn.
Right at the very end of the weekend, you know, it's Sunday. We take a big group photo, which unfortunately Mike and Lisa couldn't be in. Mike was in a meeting. Lisa wasn't feeling well. We wander over to Catalyst. We're sitting here talking to Lauren. And of course, Talon comes up. And then, of course, Lexi comes up. And I don't remember the guy's name that you were talking to, but you guys were both in the desert.
Noah.
Like, he was leaving the desert. Noah. He was leaving the desert as you were showing up.
Yes.
So you guys knew the same bridges and the same mm-hmm. firefights. And so you guys are sharing, you know, Army desert stories. And Connor taps you and goes, hey, and points. And you go running off. And the next thing I know, you come walking back with Matt Lillard.
Yeah.
Who is Beetle from Beetle and Grimm.
I wanted him to meet you.
Yes. The only thing I know about Matt is I've seen his movies. Beetle and Grimm makes phenomenal products that I can't afford. And he's a big-ass nerd who likes talking about games.
And he's a good dude.
So when you introduced me, I didn't fanboy. I didn't get weird. My favorite movies were I Love Hackers. I just, Matthew, it's lovely to meet you.
Yeah.
Glenn's told me you're an awesome gamer. I hope your weekend has been good. And he has this big, silly smile that is just radiating like, just a level of goodness. And he's like, oh my God, it's so good to meet you too. You're a friend of Glenn's, blah, blah, blah. And then you guys sort of twist into a conversation. And while I talk to Noah,
everybody's like, oh my God, it's Matt Laird. And I'm like, yeah, he's a good dude.
It's moreover, he's not here to talk about your favorite movie.
No, I brought him over here to reintroduce him to my son.
Yes.
And introduce him to one of my best friends.
Right. You were like, he's fun to game with. And I was like, well, if I ever get the chance, I'll know. You were like, if you ever get the chance, just know you'll never be the funniest person at the table.
You will not. You will not. If Matt is at the table, you are not the funniest person.
I was like, well, that's fine.
God, fuck. He is such a good dude. But yeah, I just, you know, and I was like, hey, man, thank you. I just, you know, I'm glad I got to see you.
Yeah, because, I mean, we didn't see him the whole weekend until we were leaving.
Yeah, he was tired.
So after that, we all sort of scuttled out of the building. You guys went to the car and I went upstairs. And I took like an hour nap, texted, hey, is it cool for me to come get my car? Yada, yada, yada. Because I knew I had to drive. So I just kind of relaxed a little bit, took a small nap. As soon as I walk outside the Omni and hit my lift, Tommy, he's like 6'4".
That's a big dude.
He's two of me wide. And he appeared like a fucking vampire. Hey, Jay. It's like, son of a bitch. He's got his own shit going on, right? Like, I know he's trying to make a movie and I know he's trying to get a game company going and he's trying to get a game convention going. But he was streaming for Catalyst Labs throughout the weekend. But I don't know what he's doing for Lauren. but he was streaming at Catalyst Labs at PAX. So I don't know exactly what he's doing for Lauren, but I think he and I don't remember her name. Was it thin, dark hair?
Nora.
Him and Nora have been on professional streams role-playing together.
Yes.
So he's doing a lot of stream gaming.
Well, shit, I've been on streams.
Yes, but you didn't spend all day every day at Gen Con doing that for Catalyst. That's what he was doing. But I don't know what he's doing for Catalyst.
I've never asked Lauren if he wanted me in a stream.
They had a stage right outside the demo room, and they had like a little stadium seating where a bunch of people were like sitting, like prepping for the next thing while somebody else was on camera. They had something going on the whole time. I just don't know what they're streaming and doing. I don't know if it's like product reveal. I don't know if it's like game demos. I don't know if it's just like professional improv comedy gaming. I don't know. Because as much as I've talked to Lauren and to Tommy, I've never asked what that's all about. All I know is that Tommy is a big G.I. Joe fan.
His favorite G.I. Joe is Road Pig.
Yes, because he is Road Pig size.
He is a unit.
Evidently, he knows Lenny and Emily from the classified team. So he knows folks, and he knows us, and he very much loves knocking into you.
Guys that big, I stab with bullets.
Genuinely, he's a nice dude.
He's a good dude.
So I had a great drive home, super easy. No stress, no problems. Took me about 4.5 hours. When I picked my car up, they were like, you can stay the night. We can feed you dinner. And I was like, that's all very kind. But if I don't leave now, I'll be too tired to drive. And I just want my bed and my cats.
The boys had heard Connor and I for a year talk about how once we got in the car and left last year, we didn't talk. And the boys, so we get in the truck and we're going. Nobody said a word for like an hour. The only word that got said after an hour was, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. So we pulled over, went in the gas station, fueled up, got back on the road. And like, I took a nap, you know, Evan took a nap, you know, Connor and Chris were chit chatting. And then Evan and I woke up, and then we had all decompressed enough. And then we started talking.
Funny enough, when Todd and I leave a show, we talk the entire way home. There is no decompression. Decompression happens once, like, we get to his house, I get in my car and leave.
The boys are like, I cannot wait for next year.
Oh, good. Genuinely, I would be more than happy if Artal or someone else picked me up and had me at their booth next year. I would enjoy that.
You'll probably be with us again if you don't mind the arrangements.
Yes, the arrangements are so very difficult.
Dude, that one morning, I come in and Ev's asleep on the floor. And I asked when everybody was up, I go, why were you on the floor? He's like, fucking Chris kept trying to push me off the bed. And fucking Chris goes, I was ready to punch you in the fucking head, you ass. And I was just like, there's the brothers. There's the brothers right there.
You said, bring something to sleep on or you're going to have to sleep between the boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I camped out on the floor every morning, picked the mattress up, slid it in between. Slid in that small little alcove outside the bathroom. The room was a nice size.
It was.
Plenty of room. You guys were in one bed, they were in the other. I was on the floor, plenty of room. You know, all of our shit was just up against the floor like a bunch of goddamn savages.
And that thermostat lied because there's no way that room was 60 degrees.
That room was no less than 67.
Yeah, exactly. And we had two fans going.
Yes.
But goddamn, I can't wait to do it next year, Jay.
Hey, listen, that's a huge thank you to Talon.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, just call the front desk and get a box fan. Oh.
Yeah, because the fan I brought helped, but it wasn't moving enough.
Because I was right under the fan, I pulled a booner every night and parroted myself.
That's what the boy said. Chris was like, that motherfucker over there sleeping like a parrot and shit. I'm like, yeah, that's what him and Boone do.
Well, not normally, but I don't like all that wind on my face.
I have a CPAP mask. I always have wind. Jay, it is always a pleasure to be on your podcast, and I appreciate you.
Thank you for doing this. If you drive up to Des Moines in November, it's a good show. That you're going to love it. If you wait till next year when I'm there, I'll introduce you to everybody.
I'll go with you.
Yeah, come out to Joe Fest. I would tell you to a couple other shows, but they're also really far for you to drive. These are great shows, and you already know it's going to be the same way as PAX and Gen. And if Artel wants me, I'm going to show up. if you guys call and say, hey, I got a space in a room, I'll show up.
Bet.
Hopefully you guys are in Nashville at some point soon.
We're working on trying to figure that out.
I would like to go out to your way. I just really need a career first.
Oh, I understand.
Yes, I know.
I understand.
So, all right, sir.
All right, talk to you later, Jay.
All right, brother.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.